I was reading the other day about this legend from an ancient village in Spain. The villagers learned that the king would pay a visit. In 1,000 years, the king had never come to this village. Excitement grew. Someone yelled, "We must throw a big celebration." The villagers all agreed. But because it was a poor village and there weren't many resources, someone came up with the classic idea that since many of the villagers made their own wine, the idea was that everyone in the village bring a cup, a large cup of wine of their choice to the town square. They said, "We'll pour it into a large vat and offer it to the king for his pleasure. And when the king draws wine to drink, it will be the best ever that he has tasted." The day before the king's arrival, hundreds of people lined up to make their offering to the honored guest. They climbed a small stairway and poured their gift through a small opening on the top. Finally, the vat was full. The king arrived and was escorted to the square and given a silver cup and was told to draw some wine, which represented the best the villagers had. He placed the cup under the spigot, turned the handle, and then drank the wine. But it was nothing more than water. You see, every villager reasoned, "I'll withhold the best wine and substitute it with water." What with so many cups of wine in the vat, the king will never know the difference. The only problem was, friends, that everyone thought the same thing. And the king was greatly dishonored. Palm Sunday is about a day when the King of Kings was greatly honored. Because people gave the very best they had, they gave the gift of praise. You know, one time back in the early 1800s, Napoleon Bonaparte and his army were moving through Europe. And everywhere they went, Napoleon was greeted with thunderous applause. "Long live the king! Vive la France! Hail to the Emperor Napoleon!" But Napoleon didn't seem too excited about what was going on. So a soldier said to him, "Isn't it great to hear the roar of the crowd, the support of the people?" And Napoleon replied, "The same people that are cheering for me today would cheer just as loudly at my execution." I think what Napoleon was trying to say is that people are fickle. That one day you will be their hero, and the next day you will be just a zero. It's amazing how fast the roar of the crowd can turn against you. Jesus had come now, as we know it's Palm Sunday. Jesus had come from Jericho, about 30 kilometers away, where he healed blind Bartimaeus. And he brought salvation to the despised tax collector Zacchaeus. Now he was on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that he will be crucified. Today, friends, is the day that marks the beginning of the end of Jesus' earthly life. The beginning of Jesus' last week on earth. His last week would include people shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And 5 days later we'll be yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" during the last week, he would be nailed to the cross, placed in a tomb on Friday night, the first day, and all of Saturday, the second day, and then he will be raised to life again on the Sunday morning, the third day. We get the name Palm Sunday because some of the older translations said that as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the disciples had laid down palm branches on the road ahead of the donkey. Some of the translations today say that in the earliest Greek and Hebrew text, they referred to these as leafy branches cut from the fields. Now, what they laid down is not as important as the reason they laid them down. In the culture of that day, friends, listen, in the culture of that day, a king would ride into a town on a horse if he wanted people to know that he was ready for war and that he was a warrior king. However, Jesus chose to ride on a donkey to show that the time of peace and love had come. The people were waiting a king. But most of them thought that the king would be an earthly king who would readily protect Jerusalem from all its enemies. Jesus, however, came as the King of Peace. And they threw the branches in front of him as a symbol that they accepted him and worshipped him as their king. In other words, they gave him the red carpet treatment. A greater number of pilgrims were swarming into Jerusalem. Why? Well, it was time for the Passover. Josephus is a Jewish historian, had written that during the Passover, the population of the city frequently rose to more than 3 million people. Kind of on a smaller scale like Smoky Lake and the Pumpkin Fair. Our little 1,000 people or less swells to over 7,000. But this is what happened in Jerusalem. There were no hotels or motels to accommodate these vast numbers. And so some people camped on the hillsides, stayed at friends or borrowed homes. The exciting vacation and carnival-like atmosphere was bound to prevail over such a mob of people. People were pumped, man. Imagine what it would have been like to be in this crowd and jam-packed city of Jerusalem. In fact, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all wrote about this incident. Mark says that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the multitudes cried out, Mark 11:9, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As we said earlier, Hosanna means save us! They shouted, blessed is he! Which means, blessed is he who is sent by God to save his people. Blessed is he who is sent with the authority of God. That's what they were saying. Luke tells us that the crowds praised him. Luke 19. The whole multitude began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Matthew said, Matthew 21, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. It was moved and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, man, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. When John wrote about it, he wrote in John 12, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Save us. Save us. They all proclaim that Jesus is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They thought the hour had arrived, that Jesus was going to usher in the kingdom of heaven. They thought the hour had arrived that Jesus will free them from the Roman dominion. They thought that the hour had arrived where Jesus would set up his throne in Jerusalem, from which he will rule and reign over the people. They thought the hour had arrived when Jesus will establish Israel as the leading nation of the earth. However, friends, they failed to see certain things. They were so pumped, they were so full of excitement, they failed to see that Jesus was riding on a colt, coming as the King of Peace. The people in Jerusalem desired peace, but they wanted it through conflict. They wanted war, man. And yet Jesus was offering them peace in conflict. Do you know John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. They failed to see that Jesus wished to bear the burdens of men. That Jesus rode on a colt, an animal used in the service of men to carry a load or a burden. And here's Jesus presenting himself as the King who will carry our burdens. Matthew 11 verse 28, where Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you see that, friends? They failed to see that Jesus was riding an animal that symbolized sacredness, coming for the purpose of saving the people, not physically or politically, but spiritually. He entered Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, the just for the unjust, the holy one for the unholy, the pure one for the impure, the righteous one for the unrighteous. And this was Jesus coming into Jerusalem. I think preachers all over the world today have some difficulties in today's sermon. Because do you know what's another name for Palm Sunday? It's called Passion Sunday. Did you get that, friends? Palm Sunday is called Passion Sunday. You can Google that. You say, no, it's all right, we believe. Do we preach on the palms, or do we preach on the passions? Well, if I preach about Palm Sunday, this is what I'll have to mention. I would have to talk about the people traveling great distances just to hail Jesus as King of the Jews. I would have to talk about the people who laid down branches in front of Jesus as he made his way into Jerusalem. I would have to tell you about how happy the people were to see him, how they were excited and literally took off their coats and also threw it on the ground. I would have to talk about how these events fulfill the prophecies that were spoken 500 years earlier, the prophecies of Zechariah, who told about the king who would ride into Jerusalem, Zechariah 9 verse 9. 500 years before it took place, friends. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. Is that how you say that word? I would also have to tell you how this day was a great day of hope for the people who lived in hopelessness. But friends, on the other hand, if I had to preach about Passion Sunday, I would have to tell you a very different story. I would have to tell you that this parade was really a funeral procession. The day marked the beginning of the end, the week of betrayal, the week that would end in suffering and death. I would have to tell you stories of the Last Supper, on how Jesus shared with his disciples those things he wanted them to remember most. I would have to share with you the familiar stories of the arrest, the torture, and the crucifixion. That's Passion Sunday, friends. I was reading about this young farm boy who lived on the outskirts of town. One day he was coming from school and he saw some men putting up a poster on a fence. He hung around until they had finished and he went over to read it, and it told of a real live circus coming to town. One that had animals and everything. The boy rushed home and told his father and asked if he could go. The father knew he didn't have money, but the father says, "You know what? You can go, buddy. You can go anyway." Come the day of the circus, the boy hurriedly finished his chores and then changed clothes. He went to his father. The father handed him a dollar and said, "Listen, you must be careful. Have a really nice time." And the boy ran off. When he got to town, he saw the whole town standing on either side of the road. And then he heard the noises. Here came the circus. His heart raced and his eyes got big as the band played their instruments as they walked past him on the road. Next came the animals in the cages. He was scared, but he stood his ground. How exciting this was. Then group after group, all kinds of neat people and things came by. This lasted for a long time, and then at the very end was a clown all by himself in his traditional clown clothing, complete with painted face and big floppy shoes. Then the boy saw the clown. He ran up to him and gave him the dollar. And then the boy went home satisfied. He only saw the parade and he thought it was the circus. And that's how people are, and many people are that way when they view the Easter week. They see the celebration of Palm Sunday at the first, and then they see the miracle of the resurrection and the ascension as the last part. And they miss, friends, the passion of the cross in the middle. And yet they think they've seen it all and they go home satisfied. No wonder, listen, you're going to remind me Friday. No wonder churches' attendance all over the world drops in the Good Friday service. People want Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. They want the celebration and the excitement and the miracle. But they miss out the center. When we were at school, remember the English class, we had to read thick set work books and all that, and then we had to write a report as an assignment when we finished, read it, and so on and so on. What we used to do is read the first chapter and the last chapter. Just naughty boys, right? And then we will try to give a good book report. We know full well everything that happened in the beginning and the end, but we miss out all the important information in the middle. So I wrestled with what to share this morning. Do I share on the glory, the celebration of the palms, or the gloom of the passion? Do I share on the celebration of the parade into Jerusalem, or the passion found at the cross? So I decided to let Brother Mark preach for himself, talk for himself. As I said earlier, this is one of those very few stories that all four gospel writers tell us. I said earlier, let me just recap. John's telling the story. There was triumph, palm branches, and many people come out to celebrate the Lord Jesus. Luke's gospel says multitudes of people sing praises, hailing Jesus as King. Matthew's account, there are huge crowds and lots of pomp and celebration. And here comes Brother Mark. He tells us a different kind of story. When you read his version of the story, the ride into Jerusalem wasn't a pre-Easter celebration like the others. There was not a lot of fanfare. It was more like a small ragtag parade than a grand processional. In Mark's gospel, there is a strong sense of fear and seriousness. We're going to look at Mark chapter 11, 1 to 11. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anybody says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing loosing the colt?" And they spoke and to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the ground, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The disciples had reluctantly, friends, followed Jesus into Jerusalem. Why? They feared because Jesus had told them several times that Jerusalem will be the place of his death. And then when the prediction of the donkey is foretold and it comes true, their anxiety and fear only deepened because they realized that the predictions Jesus makes seems to be right on. Mark's account is both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. I'm aware that our tendency is to dwell on the palms over the passion. Why? As humans, we tend to think more about uplifting things in life instead of those things that are serious, even if the latter means that there's a message we need to hear. We need to think about the parades, but we also need to think about the crosses. One does us no good if we don't also understand the other. We know from all accounts that Good Friday was anything but a peaceful, lazy day in the sun. Crowds swarmed over the entire area, shouting in loud and sometimes angry voices. I think that Jesus and his disciples, for them it was anything but a good Friday. Yes, we need to look at the good, that's the parade, but we need to also look at the bad, the cross, so that we can better understand that Jesus Christ deliberately, friends, he deliberately chose to endure the suffering and the death just for you and I. And to understand that he did so because of his great love for us. Jesus didn't remain distant from us because of our sins. Actually, rather than keeping himself at a safe distance, he stepped right up to us and fellowshiped with us and witnessed to us. He closed the gap between God and us, and he offered his loving salvation. This week, friends, may we remember the road Jesus traveled for us. And may we rejoice that his love for us is what led him to do it. And in response to this love, God calls you and I to respond by walking in the path of love for him and for others. Perhaps the reason Mark downplays the celebration of Palm Sunday is because we need to focus on the passion as well as the palm. We need to focus on the future as well as the present. We need to see Jesus as God rather than just a king on the earth. We need also, friends, it will only be by looking ahead to the cross that we can realize just what kind of sacrifice Jesus made for us out of his love for us. So as we go on from Palm Sunday, let us do so by remembering the celebration of the Lord's great and wonderful entrance into Jerusalem, riding on the back of a donkey to show that he was the King of Peace. And as we go, friends, from Passion Sunday, let us do so remembering what horrible things that were done to Jesus and why he allowed them to happen. Let us remember that he loves us so much that he willingly took our punishment and our debt upon himself to save us from having to go through it ourselves. Many of us tend, as I said earlier, to jump from the celebration of the parade to the empty tomb without giving the cross much focus. I understand, friends, that looking upon the brutal torture and killing of a loved one is a very hard thing to do, but we must do it. Many years ago, we rented the cinema in St. Paul. And we invited people of the church and the community to come to see the movie, The Passion of the Christ. Do you know that some would refuse to come? Some people within our church family said, no way are we going to go and see how Jesus suffered and died. You see what I mean, friends? We like the celebration of the parade on Palm Sunday. We like the resurrection on Resurrection Sunday. But we don't want to have anything to do with the cross on Good Friday. For the things leading up to the cross tell us a story, but they don't show the love. The things, friends, that occurred after the cross tell us a story of what love caused. But tie them together, friends. We must have the cross. Do you understand? Well, the things that happened before the cross don't show us love. The things that happen after the cross show us what love caused. But when you bring them together, there is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross tells us that what happened out of love. And it tells us that prophecy has been fulfilled so that the effects after the cross could take place, all for you and I. In conclusion, as we go forth into this Holy Week, as it's called across the world, let us remember most of all that the one who came to take our place has already made a place for us in heaven. He who died for us is alive and well today. Hey? He is living, he is still loving us today, and he still wants us to have a personal relationship with each one of us. He still wants that, friends. Every beginning should have an ending, and every ending needs a beginning. But every beginning and every ending needs a story in between to tie them together as one. The celebration of Palms lead to the Passion of the Christ, and the passion of the cross, and the Passion of the Cross led to the resurrection and the ascension into heaven, beginning and the end complete with a perfect middle. Amen.